What's up? This is the Sisters in Therapy podcast. I'm Dr. Mercedes, LMFTS.
I'm Dr. Brittany Harrell, LPC.
I'm Dr. TK, LMFTS.
We are inviting you to be a part of our thoughtful, passionate conversations about all things life as it relates to mental health, because everything relates to mental health.
But more importantly, we're here to inspire you to love yourself and others.
This is a podcast where you'll get dope sessions, no copay, and keep in mind that this podcast is not meant to be a replacement relationship with a mental health professional. Now, let's get into the session.
We're back with another session of the Sisters in Therapy podcast. In this session, we're going to be talking about authenticity. Definitely going to start with a definition. So authenticity is the quality of being genuine, true to oneself, and aligned with one's values and beliefs. Mm-hmm. This involves self-expression, transparency, and a consistent alignment between one's actions and inner convictions. Mm-hmm. In other words, say what you do and mean what you say. I think I said that wrong, though.
Say what you mean and mean what you say?
That one.
Okay. That's what I'm here for.
Authenticity.
And being able to say, maybe I might have fucked up on it.
Yes.
You know, it's okay.
Yes. That part. In other words, though, in order to be authentic, you one got to be self-aware. Mm-hmm. I think that's a component of authenticity. And right. Being able to identify your values, and so that you can be in alignment with those, you have to identify what they are.
Right, for sure.
Why do you think that's important to authenticity?
For me, I feel like it helps you navigate the world in a way that makes sense. I mean, how else do we know where we belong, what spaces we need to be in, and where we're going to be best seen if we don't start with this kind of baseline foundation of knowing who we are?
I like that.
Yeah. I will piggyback off of that. I feel exactly the same. The only thing I will add, I almost made a video on TikTok about authenticity, but I think your relationships and the people around, like those relationships become deeper because you are maneuvering in the world in a more authentic way. I know I feel that for myself. The experiences that I've had, I think primarily in my 30s. I know they say like once you hit your 30s, like there's like a door opens of like self-realization. but I think the experiences and my relationships have benefited from my authenticity, if that makes sense. And being unapologetic about it.
Yeah.
And knowing where I don't want to be.
Okay.
Because I don't have to.
Okay. I think my nervous system benefits from me being authentic. Ooh, because that means that I am being myself and I'm not pretending, which means I am less exhausted.
Yeah. You're not performing.
One. Not performing.
Yeah. That's a big one.
But it takes a while to get to that. To that place.
I agree. I will also say that that's probably one of the major ways I see lack of authenticity showing up in the therapy room that people have a hard time with. It's that disruption of their nervous system that says like it's so stressful trying to be this person here, be this person here, and they seem it sounds exhausting.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
It is. And so, like, how do we help our clients, or how do y'all help your clients work through finding their road to authenticity?
We kind of talked about it in a session before in regards to, one, being able to find your tribe so that you are able to be your authentic self.
Right.
I kind of turn it around on them and say, okay, this is going to go into self-care now. And so this element of self-care is you caring for yourself and then also applying some self-discipline, which means you're going to be who you are consistently. And we're going to practice that. Right. And once you find that this is not embraced by this community of people, then you're going to find something else to go network or go try a different activity and see if it's going to be embraced here. That's kind of have been my approach with only one of my clients, though, that I've tried that with.
I love that, because then that makes room for, I think we also have to like detach the outcome from our self-value.
Always.
Right? So like with the way that you encourage your client in that way, again, when you maneuver authentically, the confidence is, okay, well, that didn't work. On to the next.
Yes.
That didn't work. On to the next. But like you're still having experiences.
Absolutely. I tell everyone that there is beauty in being able to, and a sense of peace that comes in saying, I was in this moment. I was in this process. I was a part of the process. And mm-hmm. that's the only thing you can guarantee. That's the only thing that is within your control is how you show up throughout the process. The outcome, you never get to guarantee that. Right. And I think that's a part of not being our authentic self is because we're trying to control the outcome.
Yep. Well, also, we're uncomfortable sometimes with being our authentic self. Mm.
I want to rewind a little bit because you said you kind of go into practicing consistently being your authentic self. Mm-hmm. My question is, do you feel like they even know who their authentic self is?
I think some of my clients do know. But the thing is, and I was talking to somebody about this, being your authentic self sometimes is not popular. Doing the opposite of all of those things that we're talking about sometimes is not popular. Right. The unpopular thing is being fake. Mm-hmm. Nobody is being authentic. So then you really have to do some work and say, okay, you got to challenge yourself a little bit in regards to like social media, the likes, the going out to places, the phones, the cameras. You really got to challenge yourself to say, what are we doing here? Am I really enjoying this? Is this really where I want to be in this space? Right. Or do I just need to post this on Instagram?
See, I feel like, and it might be because I serve a different population.
Okay.
Mostly with adult women who have experiences with the superwoman role. And so they're really deep into like all of these multiple roles. And so I find that they get so lost in trying to be everything for everyone.
Okay.
That when we sit down and talk about who their authentic self is or what they like or don't like, oftentimes it's, I don't even know.
Okay.
I'm so far removed from who I was or who I even want to be that throughout the journey, it just drifted away.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I would say I serve those women too, but they do know who they are. I always say, what role have you played in this person being so far from you? Mm-hmm. So they do know who they are, but they have let who they are get away from them. Mm-hmm. It slipped away. So we always talking about, okay, what has been your role in letting these pieces of yourself slip away from you? Mm-hmm. And so then they do end up, they occupy all these roles and then they end up taking on all these different things and they're still showing up to places and spaces being this superwoman, which this is not your authentic self. This is your natural self because this comes natural to you, but this is not authentic.
Right. But I think even to the population that Takesha works with, and I work with similar, is that the superwoman feels authentic.
It does.
To an extent, I guess.
But also they didn't grow with it. So I feel like they know pieces of who they are. Like
gotcha.
You said, they did lose, I guess, lose sight, not necessarily lost who they were, but they also didn't. At some point, it seems like they almost stopped growing with themselves or like discovering the new parts of us. So in our previous episode, we talked about growing in our authenticity and our tribe and things like that. But that allowed us to grow also as individuals along the way.
Yeah.
So yes, there are pieces of themselves that I'm sure they're still acquainted with.
Yes.
Just kind of set on the back burner. But new discoveries for themselves kind of just not happened.
I see. So the development sort of ceased because they were extending themselves to other things and other people.
Mm-hmm. Or they put those things down and they picked them up again, too. If we're talking about moms, because I have some moms who've done that. It's all about the kids' sports now, the cooking the dinner, the chores, the packing the lunches. That's what it's all about now. Mm-hmm. So what was the original question? How do we help them?
I'm not sure. Maybe that was. But I guess I am curious, like, how do you break it down for your clients to really identify what authenticity is for them?
Oh, yeah. That's what you asked. How do we, do they know who they are, who their authentic self is? Okay.
Yes. And so I think it's a little bit of like what you said of, and what I've said before of going back to see what are the parts of you that did feel most like you. I always ask this process question to literally everybody, clients and my friends is, what brings you back home to yourself?
I like that question.
I feel like asking that question allows for the exploration of the things that were once a part of what brought you to yourself or made you feel most like you. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we also talk about like, what would that look like now? Because it might be pieces of those old things that are still present, but it might look different now because you might do it at a library or at a park or, you know, on the weekend, or you might want to do it with your, it was a solo time, but now you want to do it with your homegirls because you don't get that kind of girl time anymore. So it does shift with you. You kind of grow with it.
Right.
I love that.
Dang, what brings you back home to you?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've asked a similar question and wasn't prepared for the answer that I got.
How so?
Because they never felt like they even had a home or a foundation. Mm-hmm. So then it brings about new possibilities and visualizations of, okay, we're going to build a new house.
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes they don't know what this authenticity is or what home inside themselves is.
Yeah.
Because they've never... We're surviving. They teach us how to make money. They teach us how to try to take care of yourself, like materialistically.
Materialistic.
They don't teach you how to care for your soul.
I think that's a big part of the barrier to authenticity is the materialism part of it. Because everything is so aesthetically pleasing and on social media and everybody's living off their credit cards. So it looks like everybody's doing better than you. So then I think that takes us further away from our authenticity because we're like, I need to keep up.
Right. Now the goal is to look like them.
Yes.
Or to look like you made it like this.
But we haven't actually made it.
Right.
Or actually seeing what making it actually looks like to you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because my making it and your making it might not look the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually a consistent conversation I've had with clients because there's always this comparison piece with people primarily through social media and like you said, people trying to keep up and people do end up losing their identity because they're seeking validation from external factors really, right? So like it can be hard sometimes to quiet the noise, but through what both of you all are saying, through self-exploration, you get to sort of, I think it could be a little fun, the self-discovery piece, but I know it can be hard and a bit of a vulnerable space to be in when people don't know. Like when I usually start like the first session, tell me a little about you. Tell me your story. That ends up being the most awkward moment for them.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know where to start with that.
Right.
So then, you know, you got to bring in the skill set and ask the questions to make them think about.
I'm like, what do you like to do? Do you like to color? Do you like to like, tell me some fun facts. And they end up able to do it then. But I always find that to be a little bit interesting that people end up like pausing at that moment. Yeah.
How do you feel like for both of you just individually, because we talk about the process of self-exploration. How did you, I guess, come into your authentic self? And what practices do you use to try to, I guess, stay in touch with your authentic self?
Well, I had to release not giving a fuck what people think about me.
How did you do that? That sounds great. Teach me.
When I realized that it kind of like how you said, like, bring yourself home? I don't know. It came to a moment where I was like, this don't feel right. This don't feel like I'm anxious. This don't feel good. I know myself. I know this feels performative. How can you reel it back in and just start being yourself? And being more honest and having more fun that way. Like, and a part of it, love you parents. A part of that was also like me standing my ground with my parents at moments. Like, I don't feel like it. No, I don't want to. Like saying no. Like that was a part of building authenticity for me is realize I don't have to do anything I don't want to do at all. I don't have to be in spaces that I don't want to be in, really. So no, I'm not going. Mm-hmm. See you later though. So it took a while, but I honestly really do think when I turned 30, there was like a light switch of, oh, you're an adult. You're leading life a little bit differently. And I think maybe finishing school too played a factor in building confidence in that. But it took some self-reflection and some introspection to really sit with how do I want to live a life of quality? And a life of quality for me is not... Overextending myself is not a life of quality
for
me.
No, not at all.
So you had to identify for yourself what even a life of quality looked like for you outside of supposed tos.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And my relationships with people got much deeper as a result of that, I think. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Thanks. How about you, Sadies?
I don't know. I think for me, being okay with being disliked by people or not being concerned with if people like me. Now, I don't show up wanting to be disliked by anyone.
Right.
But if I show up as my authentic self and it's not embraced, then that's okay. I had to learn to be okay with that, though, because I would try to overcompensate when I feel like people weren't, I guess, welcoming to who I am as a woman, as a Black woman.
What do you think has helped you, I guess, learned to be a little bit more okay with that over time.
I told you, it's like I already know who my people are. When you're navigating the world as your authentic self, it's easier when you already know who your people are.
Because you have a home.
I already have a home. Mm-hmm. So none of the other stuff really matters.
You know what? I feel like co-author Riley talks about this a lot too.
Okay.
And she talked about the dangers of isolation, but the beautiful parts of isolation, mm-hmm. but that isolation can only, not only, but can be beautiful whenever and beneficial only when you know that you have a community to go back to.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you guys are going to welcome me. The way that kind of we do things is if we are going through something, we'll check in and say, hey, I'm going through something.
Right.
So then you already know if I am a little isolated, then you guys are giving me the space I need to come back, mm-hmm. And things like that. But I think that, you know, it's a little bit of privilege to have your solid core group of people.
It is.
And I think I have that. And I can say that plays a role in me not caring what other people think about the authentic version of myself.
Okay.
So that's what helps me.
I don't know if this is a silly question. Do you think you would feel the same if there was no tribe?
Maybe. Because community is important to me. But yeah. I don't know, because I'm a person who don't lie to myself. And something on my mind, I'm going to go to the source. I'm going to try to talk about it and I'm going to speak. But that's a part of authenticity. And I think I have that here. Communicating honestly is a big part of authenticity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That is so frowned upon. That is so frowned upon. People do not like direct communication.
They assume aggressive. And that's a common misconception is that if I am assertive, and I am truth-telling, then I am aggressive. And this is automatically conflict. That is not the case.
It's very triggering.
It is. But see, then those are not my people.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we can't have a conversation without people crumbling, they got their own work to do.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest problem or barriers to trying to be friends with people, because things could be going well until some shit happens and then now don't nobody want to communicate about what happened.
Which makes you wonder, how deep is this relationship?
Exactly.
If everybody's tiptoeing and just pleasing each other and there's no deepness or any type of, I'm not saying that it has to be confrontation, but that comes with being around people all the time.
No, but that's a part of sustainable, healthy relationships.
Facts.
Is to know that this is inevitable because we are all different human beings.
Right.
Anytime there is one of us or another one added, there is going to be some type of disagreement or problem solving that needs to happen. That's
conflict resolution is necessary for all relationships, all community spaces, because there are going to be things that need to be talked about because we're imperfect humans.
Right. And because the tribe, the hope is that you lead with love and understanding. So you're always open anyway.
I think that's a part of it on the communicating side and on the receiving side of communication is how do we kind of ground, and which I do with my clients, is how do we ground ourselves at the beginning of conversations and in our relationships in general to have an established sense of trust and safety that I am telling you this out of love, out of care, out of consideration. You say something to me, I'm going to be able to say something to you that I don't like this or I don't appreciate how this went because I'm going to assume you didn't say that thing to hurt me.
Mm.
I know that you love me. Mm-hmm. I know you're not trying to be like, oh, I can't wait to fucking tear her down.
Mm-hmm.
I would never expect that from anybody in my tribe.
Right.
So that lets me know I can safely go and say, hey, I didn't love this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you want to love me well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's facts.
So again, I do think those things are rare. Very rare.
That's true.
I think that because people don't dive into their own vulnerability with themselves, that we're going to forever be trying to figure out, like, why did this relationship not work? You know, with our clients who come to see us, trying to help them see, like, girl, this is really outside of your control. That person got their own work to do.
Yeah.
And that goes a little bit into, like, inner child wounds, because that's when people struggle with communicating or taking things personal because they haven't done any work. And not saying you have to go do like this deep therapy work, but just some self-awareness about, like, okay, why when this person come try to talk to me directly, I feel uncomfortable and I feel attacked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if we can't have conversations, then we can't have authenticity.
Right.
Then we can't have community or tribes.
Right. Yeah. And it's unrealistic to think that those type of conversations aren't going to happen, right? Everything is not going to be hunky-dory.
But we do have this idea. I really made a video about this. I just didn't post it because I was saying community is such a buzzword. Everybody's all about community, 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 community. But are you really, though? I think it's very unpopular, the act of actually community. The buzzwords is popular, but the actual act of being responsible and creating community is not popular because that takes a little bit of work.
Yeah, and that takes change.
Change mm-hmm. and accountability yeah. and responsibility.
I think that's a common thread with most of these topics that we've been talking yes. about, and the harm with social media is that a lot of these things are buzzwords.
Buzzwords.
Even Keira Gaines talked about this with relationships and saying, yes. it's not that I don't like marriages or people getting married or what a marriage is. It's I don't like what people have turned the idea of marriage into.
Yes.
We're misrepresenting these buzzwords.
Mm. And that's inauthentic. Mm-hmm. And I was just saying, even
you want these titles, you want yes. the you don't want to do the work.
You yes. don't want to do the work. Goddamn, yeah.
No, and that goes facts. With a lot of things. Mental Health Awareness Month, Women's History Month, all these buzzwords. Mm-hmm. People are literally
a good partner, a good friend, a good yeah. community member.
People are using this stuff, but they don't really want the responsibility of doing the work to create it.
That's yeah. what it is. It's responsibility. It's work.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. And I agree wholeheartedly. And I think even when people post certain things and you know that they live a little bit differently, girl. It's like, who are you trying to fool, really? Now, it's not my place to challenge you on that, but it is. It's one of those, huh, that's interesting.
But isn't everybody so easily fooled? Everybody is easily fooled nowadays.
I'm not.
No, but the great majority of people are right. easily fooled with just a little post on social media. Somebody saying, we're all about community.
But like you said, because people think that social media is real. When you said that in our last episode, it automatically made me think of, it's almost like a beautiful plate of food being presented and it looks great. Mm-hmm. And you take a bite of that shit and it ain't got not a nail piece of seasoning on it. That's what social media makes me think of. Or that. But ain't nothing worse than some unseasoned food. Like, it looks beautiful.
That pisses me off. Don't make
it. But it's all unseasoned. Mm.
Now I hate to go here, but you brought up unseasoned food.
I'm not about to play with you.
It made me think about them lunch counter sit-ins and why they was fighting to sit at the folks' restaurant.
Yo, I saw
why
that.
Why were they fighting to sit in at the
mad.
Restaurants?
That's mad when they tasted the food.
Yeah,
let me anyway, stop. Coming from a privileged perspective, let me stop.
That's crazy.
How do y'all think that, as therapists, do you model authenticity, or how important is authenticity in your role as a therapist?
Oh, I think it's so important. Because I get to create the space that feels safe, not only for me, but for my client. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because a lot of times, clients, they want to be gentle with you. Like, can I curse in here? Be you. If it's disrespectful, then that's a different conversation. Mm-hmm. But as my role as the therapist, I think it's important for me to be authentic in that space mm-hmm. because the words that I speak into my client, or the way that I pour into my clients, is from a genuine place. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can have genuine connections without authenticity. Mm-hmm. So I always lead with that. Hell, I end up cursing in the session, not like in a disrespectful way, like not in a inappropriate way.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I curse. So we use that in the therapy room for sure.
It's beautiful.
I think for me, it's definitely transparency. When about like the schedules, or like, girl, no, I'm not about to be up here that late. So I'm very transparent. And like just last night, one of my couples was like, okay, transparency. I love it. No, I'm on your time. Then so they started telling me, yes. I'm on your time. So what works for you?
So
I always thank my clients for holding me accountable to sticking to my time frames that I say that I work. Because when I show up as a therapist and I am not sticking to my boundaries for my self-care, and I'm all over the place with my schedule trying to squeeze people in, I don't got the capacity to do so, I'm not being authentic.
Right.
They done got to the point where they say, okay, no, you told me you don't work on Saturdays. Right. Let's find something different. I said, now look at you.
Right.
I love that.
And holding me accountable.
That is so beautiful. Yeah. But that's also a different, with appropriate boundaries in the therapeutic relationship, of course, mm-hmm. but that is such a loving
yes.
reciprocity
yeah.
going on there that mm-hmm. I know that you are a provider. I know that you're my yeah. therapist, but I mm-hmm. also know that you're a human.
Exactly.
Yes.
Which I think that in itself is authentic, and it helps model that you can be different things
yeah.
and still be human mm-hmm. and still yes. have needs that you need to tend to.
Yes.
Right. And people can tell when you're not being authentic, mm-hmm. oh, when absolutely. You're not being genuine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they can definitely tell.
Yeah.
I have this thing that I always say to my client. This is how authenticity shows up for me a lot in the therapeutic room, in the therapy room, is I tell them all the time, remember, I don't lie to you. I don't tell you things just to be nice. Because there are lots of times that they say, or you're supposed to tell me that, or you
I
want to.
Right, let's clarify.
I want to shut that down from the beginning and say, yes, girl. I don't say shit just to be nice.
Right.
That's not my job, actually. Right. Not at all.
And I don't want you to perform for me.
Don't.
Do not perform. Don't.
Yeah.
But I think that it carries so much more weight when I do say, hey, I see your progress, or I see this, or I see that, because we've established this real authenticity and transparency that we don't lie. We don't have to lie to each other.
Right. Facts.
I can gently hold you accountable.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to lie to you just to make you feel good.
Right. I love that. And I love that you said that, because usually when I have a consultation with a potential client, I always ask, like, what are you looking for in a therapist to make you feel connected to this process? And the main one is, you know, not bullshitting, just being straight up. I said, I do that, but in a very loving and graceful way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, none of this space is not meant to be judgmental in any way.
Right.
But just know, like, there's honesty that comes with that.
Right. It's needed. Because people are telling me that they're going to therapy, and therapists are like, oh, it'll be okay.
Like, that's not authentic. Sometimes it's not going to be. It's not going to be okay. And we need to talk about why it's not going to be okay.
And how you're going to deal with it.
Yes. Because it's going to be shit. And sometimes, like co-author Riley said, sometimes shit is just shit.
Exactly.
It
is.
You need to call it that.
Exactly. I think a big thing that I do like, I'm going to use what you just said, though, in my next couple of sessions. But what I tell people is, I am very kind. And being clear is being kind. So this is why I'm being so clear with you right now. And I always let people know, like, especially the couples, because let me tell you, with couples, sometimes it feels like one person is getting a little bit more at different times.
It's always going to feel like that.
And I'm like, you know, today it really feel like we was just really
going in on you.
But tomorrow or next week, it's going to feel like we're going in on your partner.
Right.
And then one day we all going to be like, oh my God, look how far we've come. But that is a process. But that's a part of the authenticity for couples, because it can scare the shit out of them. They will not come back.
Yeah.
So just leading with those, I call them housekeeping type things for the therapy room, or just like, we have to establish right now that this is going to be hard.
Right. Mm-hmm. And a mutual respect.
Yeah.
For not only me, but for you and for the process.
Yeah.
Itself, really. Yeah, I had a point, but I'm forgetting it at this point. So
I think that clear community, I think that we have a very important job as therapists to not only teach about these things, but what y'all are talking about right now is we also model them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We model authenticity. We model boundaries. We model healthy communication and problem solving skills and talking about uncomfortable things and holding each other accountable with grace and with love. Mm-hmm. And sometimes this is the only space. I've heard people when sometimes I'm like, I don't know if this is where this is going, if we're making the kind of progress we need to be making. But they're like, just the way that we're having these conversations over and over again, the language that we're using, the practice that we have in talking about difficult things over and over again, contributes to how they have conversations.
Yes.
So just the modeling portion.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah. Because I always tell my clients, like, the work don't stop here. Like, I want this to be a safe space for you, but I don't want you to just practice this in this space because you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
The real work is once the hour is over, you apply the tools that we've discussed in hopes that you can live more authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before we get ready to wrap up, I'm curious, for you both, how do you go about encouraging clients to embrace their, because I think finding it is one, like knowing if it's there or not is one thing, finding it is one thing. How do we go about helping them embrace their authentic self?
Let me tell you something. We can go through interventions and skills and processing and cognitive reconstructuring. I think I'm saying that right. Mm-hmm. In multiple sessions. But for me, my clients don't necessarily arrive there until they have been kind of shitted on multiple times by people. And then they say, okay, you was right. I just need to be myself because this other stuff is not working anyway. So I'm doing my job. But they can't necessarily receive it yet until they go out there and have some practice being shitted on by people. And then they get to the point to where they say, okay, no, you was on to something. I just need to be my authentic self because this other stuff is exhausting.
I think that's a beautiful point. I think that's a big one is that, and that's our job to help them see that it's not working because sometimes I think that they don't see it.
Right.
Because this has probably happened over and over again.
Help them see it, but not judge them.
Of course, never. But it really is that curious approach of, okay, so you tried to do it this way.
Right.
What was your need?
Right.
And did that need get met? And so over and over again, you're having these conversations and you're slowly not judging, bringing them to the point to where making them kind of come to the realization of, damn, I've tried X, Y, Z and reorienting them back to their need and seeing that this doesn't actually get me. I'm doing this in hopes of getting here. It's doing the opposite.
Yes.
It's not working.
Right.
So you're right. I might need to change this up.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a long time. Had some clients, it took years to get there.
Yeah.
And also it's like, we have to be so patient as therapists because we can really see how it's going to turn out before it even turns out.
I'm like,
we are really good at being therapists. I'm like, oh my God.
Yes.
Like, I knew this was going to happen.
Yes.
And they'd be like, you knew this was going to happen. I'm like, I saw it, but I need you to see it.
I need you to see it so you can understand. Because you might not have been ready for me to say it. So, like, I'm glad you saw it.
I asked the questions to try to get you there, but I saw that you weren't ready. So, I'm like, okay, she's going to go out there and do it again. And you're going to come back and we're going to talk about
it. Fine.
And you know what? My question usually is, I want you to think about this before you start making decisions. Is this going to hinder or help your healing process? That's all I want you to think about.
Yep.
Let's leave that there.
I always tell my people, if you're going to make the conscious decision to do it, again, me being authentic, let's just be real about the potential outcome. I'm not telling you to do this or to not do this, but I am saying if you're going to do it, let's talk about how this has turned out before.
Right.
And so that you can be ready to deal with that shit. Because you know it's ended up in shit every time.
How
do we deal with it?
When we set the stage up like that in therapy, that's one of my biggest things. I always tell clients, listen, you are going to do things that you are ashamed of.
Yes.
And you are going to want to not come back to this space. I said, please don't do that.
Yep.
Come back over and over again. I am here to hold this space. We can have accountability without shame. We can process it. I want you to come back here.
Exactly.
Some clients still don't come back, but I've done my part by letting them know, baby, you can come back.
Exactly. And to reaffirm, there are no consequences.
None.
Process. You won't get in trouble for not doing your homework.
I tell them all the time.
Yes, you're not going to get in trouble for not doing your homework. What we will do is process the barriers to you completing the task. Whatever else we need to process. But I am not your parent or your disciplinarian.
Sometimes they tell me they ain't doing it. I'll just be like, oh, okay, cool.
Right.
So you ain't about to run no labs. I can't make you run no labs. That's the worst thing that came up for me because I'm like, this had to be one of the worst punishments.
Running labs?
Is running labs or
running labs for
line
else.
Drills. I'm like, oh. I'm like, you don't get that kind of you don't get no grade here, so I don't. And that's a part of my authentic practice too. Is that I don't operate in shame.
Shame is big for me
ever
because shame. I feel like is something. Not I feel like I think shame is just something we are just given that we didn't ask for. So I'm like, nah,
we certainly learned.
I'm like, somebody gave this to us, but so much of us. As Black people, we operate with shame and like shaming people to do this, shaming people to that. So people do come to therapy and think that they're going to be shamed because they're not making progress. It's a thing, but I think that plays a big part in creating an authentic environment as well as just setting the stage up from the beginning and letting them know like things will get tough for you. You will regress sometimes. You will progress sometimes, but please just keep coming back.
I always tell them, this is part of the human experience.
It really
is. It's part of the healing experience as well. Yeah.
It's never ending. It's
never ending.
We're going to have good days. We're going to have not so good days. We're just here to talk about how to keep it going.
Keep it going. Yeah. So obviously, you know, kind of what we just talked about is if you are listening to this and you're thinking about going to therapy or if you're in therapy, please just be honest in the therapy space and be authentic. Because anything other than honesty and authenticity is just going to... You're going to go out and tell your friends therapy was not working for me. It was a waste of time.
Yeah.
And it is going to be a waste of your time and your money.
If you're not honest.
And you deserve a safe space. If you go in and you are trying to be authentic and you feel like it's not resonating or it's not a safe place, find a new therapist.
Find a new therapist.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Or try to tell your therapist because also they should be open to feedback.
I always tell my clients, you tell me.
100%.
Let me know. We can make adjustments. This is a team effort.
For sure.
At any point you don't feel connected to my process, we can make some changes.
We can make some changes or I can help you find somebody. Exactly. We're going to problem solve what's going to make you feel more connected And we gonna be like, what exactly. about this person? Right. They do this, they do that.
Right.
It's cool. Exactly. It ain't about me.
It's not nope. about me.
Not at all. Mm. So, with that being said, go love yourself.
Go love yourself.
Go love yourself.
Hey guys, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Sistas in Therapy. That is S-I-S-T-A-S in Therapy. And make sure you hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you listen to our show on and give us a review. And as always, go love yourself.